Well, I'm very excited to get into this. I have a surprise for you, not tonight, but in January I taught the teaching on the kingdom. And if any of you remember that, you're probably thinking that there's some interesting things in there that I taught that, well, maybe it might not be lining up as we work the subject more and more. And that's true. And consequently, I've asked Joe to pull any public release of that because I'm not sure if it's going to be the last teaching, but I think it is. And it probably won't be in the series, but it'll be in every fellowship. And I'm going to reteach that subject in light of all the new things that we've learned. And I think you'll be very blessed to see how we're willing to change as we learn more and as things fit more. Because honestly, I know so much more now than even when I started this. It's amazing, and I'm sure you do too. But tonight's going to blow your socks off, and it's going to open up new vistas of understanding, guaranteed. Okay, so let's get into the parable of the sower. If you want to, you can go online and find this teaching in an Audios. It's August 2011. The parable of the sower is one of three which proclaim God's kingdom. And we will be getting into the other two, not tonight, but as the series progresses. Understanding this well-known parable, and that's why I'm so excited to teach you first, because you all have heard this 1,000 times, and you've all got your minds made up on what it means. But understanding this well-known parable in light of the kingdom will certainly shed new light on the subject of both this parallel and or this parable and the Gospels. So, Matthew chapter 13, and beginning with verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. I want you to understand that the view of this parable is that it covers the whole ground, not just one little part of it. So, Matthew 13, again in verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came, whew, and devoured them up. Some fell unto stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Kind of reminds you of Texas, huh? Especially now, it's so hot out there. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And if you're like me, your frame of reference when you read these verses is that you could get one guy that like by the wayside, when you're witnessing, you can get another guy that's in the stony grounds. You can get another guy that's among the thorns. And every once in a while, you find somebody that believes. Now, isn't that a great way to teach this? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just get into the teaching. The seed was the word of or concerning the kingdom. This you must understand. It's pivotal in establishing your understanding of this parable. Verse 19 tells us, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, same chapter, right? Okay. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So don't we know now that the word or the seed in the parable of the sower and the seed is concerning the kingdom? Any doubt about that? Let's say no. Okay. Well, what we want to do is we want to take these by sowings. And I'll just preface this to set your perspective. These sowings are times. They are times in a chronological perspective. And so the first sowing is the first time that the kingdom was announced. The second sowing is the second time. The third sowing is the third time. The fourth sowing is the fourth time. Now, I don't know if you knew that or not, but this is the stuff that I say is going to rock your socks. Awesome stuff. Okay? So when we read, "Behold, a sower in verse 9 went forth to sow, and he sowed, and some seed fell by the wayside," that's the first sowing. Well, let's get into it. The first sowing was by the wayside. We saw that in verse 4. And we know that this must have been proclaimed by John the Baptist, because he was the first one to proclaim the kingdom. Matthew chapter 3. Now, we're going to jump through some verses here. So, grease up your fingers. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" I have not covered it yet, and I will, so hold your horses on this part about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, and all that stuff. And I already told you one time, I don't know, a month ago, that I was going to do that. And I will. Right now, when you see those phrases, just think kingdom. Okay? So, John the Baptist was preaching the kingdom. It's at hand. Mark chapter 1. Now that we know that John the Baptist was preaching the kingdom, when we see other references of him preaching, we know what he was doing, even if it doesn't say kingdom. Mark chapter 1, verse 3, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Well, what was he doing? He was preaching the kingdom. Luke chapter 3, verse 2, "Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Now, when you see the baptism of repentance, which is water baptism, you know that it's specifically tied to the kingdom. Isn't that something? As you hear all of these points, you have to put them together. And so at one point you're going to hear that the kingdom is in abeyance. I've already told you, we taught that at a Sunday morning fellowship, and I said, we push the pause button. Remember the pause button? So even if water baptism was valid then, it's on pause. Everything to do with the kingdom's on pause. And this is just putting it all together. John chapter 1. I really hope this gets you excited. You let yourself get excited about this, because this is wonderful truth. John chapter 1 verse 6. "There was a man sent from God. His name was John." Big bad John. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Look at this. It was about all people believing. Remember, the seed was across all the ground. God wanted everybody to believe and the kingdom to just be established then with John the Baptist. He had Holy Spirit from the womb. The only man that has ever been born from the womb like that. Jesus Christ didn't even have Holy Spirit. Not until he was baptized at 30 years old. Amazing. God really put everything behind John the Baptist. But people didn't believe. Matthew 13. This is about that parable of the grain of mustard seed. Matthew 13, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. This is a parable. It's showing how something small can get so big. Now, a mustard doesn't turn into a tree, okay? That's a known fact. This is a parable, And it's talking about something so small becoming so large. John sowed the seed, and this was by the wayside. This was the wayside time period. And here the birds of opposition from Satan devoured the seeds. Matthew 13, verse 4, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Matthew 13, again, verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. We know that this verse is talking about John's sowing. We know that this verse is talking about the first time period of the kingdom being proclaimed. And it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. That's what happened, and that's what closed the first sowing. Satan pulled out all the stops, and he came and ate every seed there was. It just must have been a vicious flurry of activity. If you could just imagine the spiritual battle that was raging. I mean, John the Baptist being born with Holy Spirit, he was born with that. He had it in the womb. And that's pretty close to becoming a son of God. I don't even know what you'd call it. Now, he wasn't created by God because Zechariah and Elizabeth had him. But God created that gift of Holy Spirit in him. But when he was born with that, he was ready to go from the factory. He was ready to go. And remember, he was from the wilderness people. They weren't tainted by anything. They were a whole different breed. We talked about that a long time ago. And this was one of the only people that God could trust to deliver the truth, without all the politics and all the nonsense that everybody else put into it. Well, it didn't work because Satan didn't let it work. And God's a God of free will, and that's how it had to be. The second sowing, we're in Matthew 13, so let's read verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. This is the second sowing. This is the second chronological phase of the kingdom being proclaimed. Now, you really should be feeling this, getting this, that this parable of the sower and the seed has four different time periods of sowing, and each one are represented by a different type of ground. But they're four different time periods, and they were done by different groups of people too. So now we're layering. We know there's four periods. The first one was by John the Baptist, nobody else. The second one, who was this by? It was by Christ himself, and by the 12, and by the 70. And we'll look at those real quick. First, Matthew chapter 4. And this teaches us about Christ. So now God is pulling out all the stops once again. He's using his son. He's using 70 people who believed, and he's using the 12. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is what Jesus proclaimed. That's what he was all about. Let's preach the kingdom. That's what he did. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, and this talks about the 12. We'll look at verse 5 and 7. Matthew 10, verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth." Verse 7, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus enlisted the 12 to do what he was doing. And this is the second phase of the sowing of the seed of the kingdom. And the 70, Luke chapter 10. Verse 1. We'll look at verse 1 and verse 9. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also." Verse 9. "And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." So, again, this is talking about the kingdom. And the 70 were appointed to proclaim the kingdom. So we have Christ, the 12, and the 70. We'll go back to Matthew 13. This sowing was on the stony ground, and it was received with joy. So if you really try to train yourself to look at this as periods of time, not as Johnny goes and witnesses to one guy yesterday and, it didn't work, wayside, gone. Satan came and got it. Birds flew in, plucked it up. Oh, Johnny witnessed today and, the seed fell in the rocks. Johnny witnessed last week and the seed was in the thorns. Stop looking at it like that. That has nothing to do with this. It's erroneous. It has everything to do with this is the second sowing. And the second sowing was on the stony ground, and it was received with joy. So this period of time brought great joy to the people. This was all happening among the masses, really something. And it's amazing to see that 1, 12, and 70 did this. So, Matthew 13, verse 20, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and immediately, anon, immediately with joy receiveth it." But unfortunately, this sowing was also unfruitful. Mark chapter 4. Sorry guys, I can't rewrite the script. What happened, happened. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." Can you imagine what joy, what gladness was among the people? We don't see that in our churches today. Verse 17, "And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." And boy, they were. And it ended. And it was rejected. So, we know that the second sowing was by Christ, the 12, and the 70. And we know that they were offended. And so, that phase ended. The third sowing, Matthew 13. Verse 7, you know, when I read this, when I teach this, and when I think about this, I can't help but think how privileged we are to know this. Now, it's been here for ages, but to be able to see it and to know it, it's mind-boggling to me. It's just so enlivening. It separates you so very much from others' understanding of the Bible. But you have to ask yourself, what are you going to do with it? It's something that you could pray about and really pray that God puts people in your path that you could heal with this. This is healing. Okay, so the third sowing, Matthew 13, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. My goodness. It seems to me that if they want to call wars world wars, that we've had three already. World War I was against John the Baptist, of a spiritual, cataclysmic nature. World War II was against Christ, the 12 and the 70, of a spiritual, cataclysmic, almost permanent nature. And the third sowing, it choked them before it got to them completely. Something rather unique happened. The pause button was pushed. Because it's a very serious battle. This third sowing was by Peter, the 12, and them that heard them. That's how they're titled. Peter, the 12, and them that heard them. It took place during the Book of Acts time period. And so you really have to put your patience hat on when you try to digest this as you read the Book of Acts. Because you're going to see several things going all down the same path. And at first you're going to go, gosh, am I confused? Gosh, are there a couple administrations happening at the same time, or what? Well, we've got the Grace Administration, the Gospel of Grace. You've already learned about that. And the whole get born again thing. But get born again was also taught in the Gospels. Right? And so the day of Pentecost came, then you have the outpouring of Holy Spirit. That was new. You want to call it layering? The spiritual portrait was layered. And it was layered with time. It was layered with groups of people. It was layered with events. And you really have to get good at putting this together and just being patient and slowing down as you think about it. It's not that confusing. It's really not confusing at all. You just have to put it together. And it's kind of like learning how to say the days of the week in Spanish. At first, they all sound the same, kind of, but not really, but kind of. And then eventually you get it. Okay? That's just life. So let your mind relax a little bit and just let it fall into place. Okay, so we also know that this seed fell among thorns. Now this is all layering too. Acts, that's time. Peter, the 12, and them that heard them, that's people. And you have location. It fell among the thorns. And there's a lot to learn in that, too. What's interesting is that it's still happening today. Hebrews chapter 2. Did I already tell you to go there?
No.
Okay. All right, I'll give you time then. Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them. These Jews in Acts who believed were all zealous for the law. Really something. And we see that the thread of knowledge, the thread of the seed, of the word of the kingdom, started in the Gospels, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them. And so the people kept promoting this. It was ongoing. We've been trained to think in terms of administrations. I'm not going to say that's good or bad, but I am going to say that this subject of the kingdom kind of breaches some of those lines. And rightly so. I mean, you can't look at the word and see that, the salvation of which we're a part first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us. So there was people between the Lord and us, them that heard them. And so it moved through time. And now we've been taught that the gospel administration ended with Christ, or by the day of Pentecost there, and that the grace administration started at the day of Pentecost and moved forward until the return of Jesus Christ. And then you have the gathering together, or the appearing. That's the sixth one. And then the seventh one is the revelation, the final one. And so that's what we've been taught. And those time periods exist. But when you layer this, and this is probably the toughest greased pig to wrestle with here, you have to layer. And you have to realize that, you know, if you start with the administration, so you've got a graph, you got lines separating each administration. Okay, that's your foundation. And then you've got the people, okay? You've got the Lord, you've got the 12, you've got the 70, you've got Peter, and so on, and them that heard them or were with them. And so those people, now that second layer, those lines are all going to be broken up differently across administrations too. And so don't just think in terms of one thing. Think in terms of multiple things. So, and then you've got events. And when you start layering the events, you can just use the four sowings as four events, and that could be another timeline that you put on there. But we're not concerned about dates. We don't care about dates. But you know that John the Baptist was in the Gospels. You know Jesus Christ was in the Gospels. You know that the 12 spanned two, the gospel administration and grace. Peter spanned two. Okay? So you've got groups of people that split up all over that graph. And then you've got events, like you've got water baptism. We read about it. You've got the salvation being proclaimed. You must be born again. That's in the Gospels. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God, right? You can't just throw that stuff away. It's like a continuum of time. And so these events continue, but then all of a sudden, you've got the outpouring of Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, you've got the nine manifestations. And now you've got this thing called Christianity that did not exist before, but it exists inside of this axe or the third sowing. What's interesting is that the kingdom, the proclamation, the third proclamation, is going to continue until just preceding the tribulation period. But we know there's going to be a fourth sowing. So we know that the third sowing didn't work. Just like the second sowing didn't work, and just like the first sowing didn't work. They didn't. We have it in the Bible. And so you've got all these things to layer. But that's okay. What a great project. And then you just see it. And so what I'm trying to do is broaden your perspective. I want you to really feel this. Let it sink into your soul a little bit and feel it. And understand that it's like a dance. And it just flows. It flows through time, with people, with things, with events. And it all just is going to work out in the end. And you want to layer something else on there? How about World War I, II, and III of the greatest spiritual battles ever fought in this world? I'm not talking about when Satan got kicked out of heaven, Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. That was before our time, before this world, or reformed world. So you could layer that too. And I guarantee you, he's marshaling his troops, Satan. He's marshaling his troops to defeat the fourth sowing. Okay. Okay, so we talked about the continuum, and I use Hebrews 2:3 to show you that. And I really hope you see that it's continuing on, right? Started and it's still going. Acts 21:20. I told you then that the Jews in Acts who believed were all zealous for the law. And that's a whole other thing that you could put down on a continuum and layer it on scales, right? To these people that they were embattled with this. They wanted the law still. Acts 21, verse 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. This was a major impediment. Because the message of salvation was part of the proclamation of the kingdom. You must be born again. And the liberty that came with that. So it was a counter purposes. The way the people thought and believed and the message that God was proclaiming. Galatians chapter 3. And you know that Satan's going to use any way to raise a crisis. And that's a crisis. Galatians 3 verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now we're kind of in the middle, kind of grace, of the first century church and all the great events that happened. Galatians. We're kind of getting down inside it here. This is not just coming into it anymore. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Chapter 4, verse 9. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly element whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? When you read the Gospels and when you read the Epistles, put one hand on your knowledge of the kingdom and understand that it was taught throughout. Because they really believed that the message of the kingdom was the message of the day. They really believed it. And we can still talk about the kingdom, but we know that there's going to be a fourth sowing. And we know why. So our job is not to fulfill the message of the kingdom. Our job is to go into some of those layers and go, oh, Christianity. Oh, salvation. And identify that and put people into that. And there could be a couple more little things in there. But that's the big one. Okay. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So here they were proclaiming grace, the grace administration, the grace period of time, and they were showing these people how that they were refusing grace. So there were battles raging within Christianity, and they were like sub-battles of the sowing. Because these people were born again. So they already had salvation. Acts 28. And we know that this sowing actually came to a crisis. I mentioned crisis a minute ago. But this sowing came to a crisis in Acts chapter 28 when the kingdom was rejected yet again. And this is where the kingdom was rejected. But we see Paul's commitment to it throughout his entire lifetime. It wasn't just a John the Baptist thing, or Jesus Christ thing, or 12 thing, or 70 thing, or them that heard them thing. Acts 28, verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, they came, then there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified what? Now, don't you think that's something? He never let that go. The kingdom of God. Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Oh my gosh, there's not one of us that have ever done that. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. God's desire was that all people believed. That's really something. And they didn't. All people didn't. Where's that? I was looking for the verse. Remember I said all men? Oh, there it is. Okay, here we go. Oh yeah, about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from John, whose name was John, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That was God's desire, that all men through him might believe. Really amazing. And so then when you read this in Acts 28, until evening, and some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not, we know that God wanted everybody to. The idea is that everybody was supposed to. This wasn't open for debate. We don't get that. Because we see the stupidity of man refusing and rejecting God. And we've had to live with that our whole lives. And we've had to smile as we see it. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. And that should come as a revelation. And when the fourth kingdom or the fourth sowing happens, it's not going to be that way. Every knee is going to bow. Isn't that something? Nobody's going to get to say no. And you have to say, is that brutal or not? Absolutely not. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the right way for it to be. Because that's the way God wanted it to be. He knows best. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. And then there you have it. They rejected it. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, did they reject it or not? The answer is yes. This is where they rejected it. This was at the end of Paul's life. This was the closing of this endeavor. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. It was already sent to the Gentiles. So this is talking about something different. This is talking about the kingdom. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. This third sowing was by Peter the 12 and by them that heard them. Since this time, the proclamation of the kingdom of God has been held in abeyance. So we know it took place in the book of Acts, but now it's in abeyance. The people rejected it. We can talk about the kingdom all we want, but it ain't going to happen. It's paused. So we have to know about the fourth one. And we learn about the fourth one in Matthew 13, verse 8. The fourth sowing. This fourth sowing will be the, and I said will be, understand that it is future entirely. You can't make it happen because today you want to start teaching the kingdom. The fourth sowing will be the final proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom. It will happen immediately preceding and during the tribulation period. How long does the tribulation period last? 3.5 years, right? It's going to be the second half of the occupation of the third temple. The temple is occupied for 7 years. The Jews get it for 3.5, and then the Antichrist takes over for the other 3.5. Matthew 13, verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And boy, haven't we had fun with that verse. Oh my gosh. Matthew 13 again, verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word of the kingdom. That never changed. Wasn't it in verse 19? It's the words of the kingdom. Seed, word, kingdom. Mm-hmm. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. How about Matthew 24? This is putting this time into perspective. Look at these things as chunks of time. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is telling you when it's going to happen. So I'm going to take you into some verses to help flush that out just a little bit. Well, Romans 11. Romans teaches us that blindness has happened to Israel, but only in part. Now, I wonder what it was talking about. Was it talking about just getting born again? Or was it talking about getting born again and all the things to do with the kingdom? Because we already learned that salvation began with the Lord. And they taught, you've got to be born again to get into the kingdom. So that wasn't a new concept, and that's on that continuum that's going on even to this day. Romans 11:25 says, For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Fullness of the Gentiles. That seems to go with what we just read in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we know, and turn to Isaiah 6, we know that this blindness will be lifted once the fullness of the Gentiles are brought in, but the fullness of the Gentiles aren't going to be brought in until this sowing, the fourth sowing. That's when it happens. And so we have to pause for thought when we say things that Jesus Christ isn't going to come back until the fullness of time and Gentiles. You got to think about that one. Now you got to think about it. Because the fullness of the Gentiles is talking about the fourth sowing, the kingdom, the one that's really going to work. When the Jews' blindness is gone. Isaiah 6:11. Then said I, Lord, how long? I remember sitting in an audience one time, and some guy, after, it was during a teaching, it was actually so funny, but somebody was teaching, it was a real casual setting, but there were lots of people in there, and he piped in, he goes, how long? You know, because everybody's going, man, just come back, you know, talking about Jesus Christ. But this is talking about something different. And they all thought it was talking about Jesus Christ coming back. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That doesn't sound anything like the return of Jesus Christ. Okay? Don't mix them up. This is talking about the kingdom and the blindness being lifted when the fullness of the Gentiles are brought in. So this how long has yet to be seen. We know that this sowing will take place only during a very short time period. And that's another thing that's marvelous to understand. We're talking about days here. We're not talking about eons, millenniums. And drought after drought, season after season. All of the other three sowings took place in a very short period of time. Each of the three took place in very short periods. And this fourth one will be numbered by days, not longer. For instance, in Daniel chapter 12. See, probably one of the greatest revelations of this subject is knowing that God wants his kingdom to be fulfilled. That's what this is all about. John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the 12, the 70, you, me, Paul, those yet to come. We play a totally different part in that, though. We're just so privileged. We're so separated from all the other continuums. Remember how we layered all that? And there's so many of the different continuums I talked about. And one of them was, we're interjected inside it. The third sowing. It's just, we're just kind of a bubble inside there. But the purpose of God was to proclaim and deliver his kingdom. And it's going to happen. But the three great world wars so far, spiritually speaking, have been designed to stop it. And they've worked. Except that God had the pause button ready to go. And fourth one's going to start up and the devil's not going to win. Now he thinks he is. That's a great perspective. Oh my gosh. you want to, somebody that comes up and says, hey, do you understand the Bible? You say, well, hell yeah, I understand it. It's about the kingdom. And it's going to happen one day. But in the meantime, we're kind of like this bubble floating around waiting. And we're totally protected. Because we accepted salvation when the kingdom was put on pause. So we became Christians. And we're very privileged. So yeah, I do understand the Bible. Do you? I mean, that really kind of shrinks it down into a nutshell, in a way. Of course, there's so much more, but you know what I'm saying. Daniel 12, verse 13. But go thy way, but go thou thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and shalt stand in thy lot at the end of the days. It's all about days. This end part, when the kingdom's complete, is all about days. I've tried to explain that too. When I taught about the tribulation period, the third temple, how long are you going to be in heaven? Boy, they just can't handle that one. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven forever. And I'm thinking, my gosh, there's going to be nothing but an empty parking lot up there. You better be careful when you use the word forever. Because if you even take a few moments to read the Bible, you understand. And it's a fantastic picture in the last couple chapters of the book of Revelation when the New Jerusalem comes down to earth and that's where God lives. So how can you stand there and say you're going to be in heaven forever? How? It's just nuts. If we just have some brass cojones or whatever and say what, I can't say it in English, but and say what the Word says, because the Word teaches us this stuff. People don't know what they're talking about. And you look at this and you go, it's just going to be days. Well, just like your time in heaven's going to be days. Okay, make it 7, 8, 10 years. I don't know. I know that Jesus Christ comes back. Then I know that the sixth administration begins. And in that sixth administration, we know that the third temple is going to be completed. It may begin before we leave or right after. We don't know. But the third temple is going to be built and all the Jews are going to be so happy and rightly so. And they're going to get to use the temple for the first 3.5 years because the Antichrist is going to let them. And then the next 3.5 years of the total 7-year time frame of the existence of the third temple, the Antichrist is going to rule. Three and a half years. That's 365 days times 3, and then 365 days divided by 2 added to that. That's not a lot of time. That's under 2,000 days. Days. And then there's going to be a battle. And then guess what? Satan's going to be thrown into the bottomless pit. And then Jesus Christ is going to come back with us for the millennium, 1,000-year time period. And there's going to be peace on this earth. And everybody's going to get a chance to believe. The kingdom? And then you're going to have the judgment. Well, there's going to be the battle. We're going to leave again. There's going to be the judgment after Satan loses. And then the final declarations of victory and this earth and the heavens are going to be burned with a fervent heat. And that a brand new heaven and earth is going to be made. And then New Jerusalem comes down, and there's none of that heaven where everybody says they're going to spend eternity left. So when this stuff really starts to happen, it's going to go fast, 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 fast. But I want you guys to be able to rattle that stuff off. You're some of the only people in the whole world that know it. You know that? It's amazing when I hear people talk about the return, and they won't even call it the return. They call it the rapture. That's not even a Bible word. Oh, I hate that word. And they don't even know what they're talking about. Oh, anyway, let's finish this. I'm getting distracted now. Matthew 24. I wanted you to feel this in days. It's a feeling, okay? Are you scared when I say feel? Because you've been taught that you're not supposed to have feelings? Okay. Well, your soul, one-third of you, is all about feeling, so I hope you have some. All right, boy, am I ever getting off track. Okay, Matthew 24, my wife goes, yep. 24, verse 22, and except what? Matthew 24, verse 22, and except what? Those days be shortened, should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. It's a matter of expediency. Matthew 24, 22. It's a matter of expediency and saving the human race. Because if those days weren't shortened, all flesh would be destroyed. I'll say it again. That's amazing. World War IV. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. It's just days, but it's guaranteed. Has nothing to do with us, because we're going to be gathered together before then. Luke 17. Now, this should give you a new perspective on the Son of Man time. The days of the Son of Man. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, days, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Any question about the days of the Son of Man, when that is now? We all know it's talking about the fourth sowing. Matthew 24. So, when this fourth sowing is over, the end, and that's that Greek word that you should be familiar with from long ago, telos, right? Final most point will come. Everybody should know what telos means. We've heard that probably 100 times in our lives. It means final most point. It doesn't go any further than that. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure until the end, telos, the same shall be saved. Is this talking about you and me? Heavens, no. We're not anywhere to be seen. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That is the foresowing. So Jesus answered the disciples' question from verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. And you've heard this question. And now you already know the answer. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? When will this fourth sowing actually happen, Jesus? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? The days of the Son of Man, that coming that we just read about in Luke 17:26, and of the end of the world. The fourth sowing is the final sowing. It will take place after the Christian masses have been gathered together and are with Christ. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the parable of the sower and the seed.